Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Firstly, let me say it's a pleasure to be here to share in this worship with you. Mount Collar's been around a long time. In fact, the last time I preached was actually on this site, but it was in the little old building that was out the back there many, many years ago. And in fact, Jan reminded me of the time when we first turned the first sod on the building of this, and back when we were the parish, Hornsby Parish, and I was chairperson. And we had a ceremony here where we turned the first sod. So that must be 30-something years ago. So it's good. And I bring you greetings from the Barara congregation as well. I wonder how many of you remember the movie Schindler's List? Do you realise that was released back in the mid-90s? But it's a very compelling story, and it's a very confronting one at that. It's a hard watch, as I remember it. For those who haven't seen us, and to remind those who have, what it's all about, it tells you the true story of Oskar Schindler. He was a German industrialist who saved around 1,200 Jews from the Holocaust back in World War II. And he did that by employing them in his factories. Now, back in the early 2000s, Jan and I actually visited Krakow. We went to Auschwitz, and we also visited the original factory that features in the film that Oskar Schindler set up. And I must say, it was very hard to appreciate what it must have been like back during the war when things were so tense, because it all seemed, in that sort of museum, a very serene place. But in the film, Amon Goth is played by Ralph Fiennes, and he's the commandant of the German camp there, the death camp that it was. And it's not an exaggeration to say that Goth was a violent sociopath, and he was prone to kill Jewish prisoners just on a whim. And he believes that his ability to kill is the very essence of power. Oskar Schindler, who's played by Liam Neeson, is a consummate showman. And he's somehow wheedled his way into Amon Goth's good graces. And one evening there's a scene where they're sharing a bottle of schnapps, just the two of them, and they're talking about power. And Schindler says to Goth, "The ability to kill isn't power. the ability to have mercy is power. That's why Schindler argues the emperor was the most powerful person in Rome. Anyone could kill, but only the emperor could pardon a convicted criminal out of mercy. Now, Goethe tries on being merciful, and he pardons a few people, prisoners and that, who have annoyed him. And it feels good, but he can't sustain it for long, and he eventually turns back to his brutal ways. Exercising mercy, it turns out, is harder than it looks, and it proves to be a power that eludes him as he is drawn back into the ordinary cultural exercise of violence as power. In thinking about this story, it struck me that in reading the Beatitudes, I've always tended to see them as a sort of moral checklist for life. And I've heard the Beatitudes many times, as I'm sure many of you have, if not most of you, over the years. And I've listened to the list of who are blessed without really thinking of the import of what Jesus is trying to teach us. And the other thing that came to me is that it's not easy to follow these teachings. Perhaps it's an extreme example, but Armand Goethe tried, but he couldn't sustain this change in behaviour and attitude. Now, the Beatitudes is part of the Sermon on the Mount, the account of which is only found in Matthew's Gospel. There's a similar, albeit sort of condensed version of the teachings in chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel. But the author there has set it, the scene, on a plane, and he preaches to a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people. But in Matthew, Jesus just has the 12 disciples. The crowds are sort of there, but they don't really get much of a mention. In this account, Jesus withdraws to a mountain to teach all those who would follow him. And that's actually a very important characteristic of Jesus in Matthew's story. He's a teacher, and it comes out right through the gospel. And this is the first thing Jesus teaches them, and it's how to recognize blessedness. I found that interesting. Jesus teaching not how to become blessed, or even how to bless each other, but rather to recognize who is already blessed by God. And the import of all this, it's not who we necessarily think are blessed, especially in this day and age. Now, every community probably has its own definition of what constitutes blessedness. We may not always use such a pious word, I guess, and we perhaps prefer to call it instead who's got the good life, who's successful. And we all have definitions about who it is that has made it. And usually it's not those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek or pure in heart or thirst for righteousness, and all the rest of that. In our world, when we think of someone who is wealthy or powerful or famous or successful or beautiful, we think of success. blessing, at least according to the standards of our world, is most often of the material kind. But Jesus is teaching us something different. Jesus teaches us to see how God calls blessed those who are down and out, those who are distressed by their circumstances, passionate about promoting righteousness and working for peace, or just persecuted for doing the right thing. Now, I wonder if you agree, but I think we live in a world that is good at handing out affirmations and accusations, but not so good at blessing each other. But Jesus is teaching that it is important for us to recognize that those we don't often perceive as valuable to be precisely those God chooses to bless and honour and love. One of the commentators I often will look at is a guy called David Loess. And he puts it much better than I can when he says, "So also here in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus urges his disciples then and now to look at those around us differently than the culture does. Rather than measure persons by their possessions, we are invited, nay commanded, to see their character. Rather than merely take pity on their losses, we are invited to enter into them. Rather than judge their failings, we are invited to forgive and remind them that they are blessed by God and born for more than they've settled for. And rather than despise weakness, we are invited to see in it the truest point of meeting between God's children. For God reveals God's self to us most clearly and consistently at our places of deepest need." How do we take and translate that into this world and our lives now? What are the practical implications of living in our privileged part of the world? Now, I'm guessing each of us will have some sort of different thoughts on this, and I'm not going to try and undelve into all the layers that might unfold. But I'd like to share with you now two different takes on how we might think about what Jesus is saying to us in this world today. Now, firstly, I'm going to show you a video was recorded by Nadia Boltz-Weber. I don't know whether many of you will know her. If you haven't come across her before, you'll find her an interesting personality. And she has a very interesting backstory. She was born in a fundamentalist Christian family in Denver, Colorado. She dropped out of university, became an alcoholic and a drug user. She became sober and then became a stand-up comedian. So that sounds an interesting part. She felt the call to God's service in 2004. And in 2008, she was ordained into the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and she started a new church called the House of for All Sinners and Saints, which reaches out to all the marginalised in society. She's an author of quite a few books, and she's travelled the world speaking, and she's been to Australia on a number of occasions. Now, here's her take on the Beatitudes in the modern world. And just a heads up, as you might expect, it's American, and there's a few American references in there. But let's watch the video, shall we? Thanks, Wendy.
Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are they who doubt, those who aren't sure, those who can still be surprised. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are they who've buried their loved ones, for whom tears could fill an ocean. Blessed are they who've loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who no one else notices. The kids who sit alone at middle school lunch tables, the laundry guys at the hospital, the sex workers and the night shift street sweepers. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who never catch a break, the ones for whom life is hard, for Jesus chose to surround himself with people like them. Blessed are those without documentation. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists. Blessed are those who make terrible business decisions for the sake of people. Blessed are the burned out social workers and the overworked teachers and the pro bono case takers. Blessed are the kind-hearted NFL players and the fundraising trophy wives. And blessed are the kids who step between the bullies and the weak. Blessed is everyone who has ever forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful, for they totally get it. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you.
I also want to share with you a piece I found online when it made me stop and think. And it added another dimension to what Nadia had to say about the idea of who's blessed by God. And it comes from a minister called Tom Schumann. And it's called Breathless. And he says, on a social media site, a colleague in Scotland asked how people might rephrase, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." The response that struck me, says Tom, was the one that spoke of people being out of breath. And he said, "I know a lot of people who are breathless. People who, with actual breathing problems, who rely on oxygen and medicine in order to breathe. People whose breath is taken away by wonder and creativity. Children whose breath is sucked out of them by verbal and physical bullying. People whose breath of life is taken away as they flee war, disasters, and oppression. Those who run out of breath trying to take care of families and aging parents and grandchildren and the rest. People who could breathe easier if only the elephant called debt, doubts, fear was not sitting on their chests. So many breathless people. How do we show them the kingdom where they can catch their breath? How can we carry them to the breath which can restore them to hope, to life, to laughter? How can we be the paramedics of the kingdom who help resuscitate people with the gifts of God, with the gifts that God has given to us? How can we be the paramedics of the kingdom who help resuscitate people with the gifts God has given to us? Blessed are the breathless. Jesus points us to recognize that God's kingdom isn't a place far away, but is found wherever we honour each other as God's children. bear each other's burdens, bind each other's wounds and each other's burdens, and meet each other's needs. To be human is to be inescapably fragile and vulnerable. And it turns out that the surprising character of God isn't to reject these things, but rather to gather them all into a divine embrace. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, the meek, the pure in heart, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and who are persecuted on Christ's behalf. It's quite a list. And blessed are those, we might add, who see the blessings of God in their neighbour's need and give thanks that they are privileged to meet them. So, as I said earlier, what does this mean for us? What does God require of us? Micah, prophet Micah, said it 800 years before Christ when he said, God simply requires us to act justly and to love mercy and to work humbly with our God. Amen.